The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink!
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live. Rick Mund on TNT Radio.
He's a genius. He's a brilliant man of absolute integrity.
Okay. Today's news talk, TNT Radio.
How's that for an intro? Yes. Rick Mund is locked and loaded. My throatal emanations have summoned something from the very pits of Studio One. Yes, Mike Ryan, the specter of Mike Ryan is floating around over Jeff's shoulder today, and it's good to see him. Good to see him looking very smart, casual, flashing a bit of knee there as he's just shaved his legs this morning. It's all good. It's all good in the hood, as they say. Yes. I'm feeling a little bit jovial today because, you know, Mike, put that away, please. Come on. Oh, it's radio. We're fine. Listen, it's all good. A little bit of joviality to kick us off today. It is Wednesday, the 30th of November, 2022. This is Locked and Loaded. This is TNT Radio, and I'm hopefully going to be with you for the next 2 hours, bringing a little bit of light, a little bit of joy, a little bit of happiness, a little bit of salt, a little bit of seasoning into your morning or your afternoon or your evening, wherever you are. I have Jody Newell joining me this morning, beaming in all the way from Arizona. Yes, Arizona in the US. And then none other than Roger Tattersall will be joining me for the second hour of the show in good old England, good old Blighty. And we'll be talking politics, immigration, the census, The falling away from the United Kingdom from so-called Christianity. Hell's bells, there's a lot going on in the world right now. What are we going to kick it off with today? Well, actress Alyssa Milano has actually said she returned her Tesla car because Elon Musk could have solved world hunger with the money he used to buy Twitter. Imagine that, handing your car keys back because the person who made your car could have solved world hunger. Yes, world hunger, could have solved world hunger by giving that $44 billion to the poor. Let me tell you this, I've been in countries where world hunger has been addressed. And when the money comes in to the bank accounts of the officials, it very rarely gets to the hungry. Okay, it usually stops somewhere along the lines of the local MPs and the local police forces. That's just a fact. Corruption is absolutely rife in third world countries where people are starving. If you want to make sure someone in the third world gets a feed, you better go and feed them yourself. Yes, you better go and feed them yourself. So she's handed over her Tesla. Probably because she's found out that the running costs are astronomically high, and if the battery goes wonky in that thing, she's going to have to spend tens of thousands of dollars to get a new one. But hey, never pass up on an opportunity to virtue signal. That's what I say. And speaking of hunger and people raising funds, last week, Cyril Ramaphosa from South Africa was over in the UK being courted by none other than Prince Charles. And a UK columnist has branded Ramaphosa as a dreadful fellow. He's a dreadful fellow. After a state visit to the UK, he said visiting heads of state are usually much subtler when they come around to asking for money. So Ramaphosa just got straight to the point. He whipped off his cap. He set it in front of Prince Charles and he said, "Excuse me, Prince Charles, King Charles, could you fill my bowl?" Yes, he wasn't very subtle about it. I don't know how much he got. I don't know if he got anything at all, but no doubt there was something in it for the UK if they were entertaining Ramaphosa in the first place when they knew why he would be coming. He would be coming with his hands open for a Brucey bonus. But anyway, he's been branded a dreadful fellow. I couldn't possibly commentate on that because obviously I've never seen the guy before, met him. But, you know, you've got to go by what the UK hacks are saying. In Ireland, this year so far, we've seen a teacher a teacher locked up and still is locked up in Mountjoy Prison for contempt of court for refusing to stay away from his school where he's employed to go to teach because he refused to use gender-neutral pronouns in a school. And also an elderly woman was locked up for refusal to wear a mask in a supermarket. Meanwhile, suspended sentences are being handed out to paedophiles and perverts. Yes, for real, they're being let off with suspended sentences for child abuse, child pornography, and all sorts of deviant acts. Well, a teacher and a granny get locked up for not wearing a mask and not refusing to accept gender pronouns. This is Ireland, folks. This is the Emerald Isle. This is the land in which I live. And it's coming, if it hasn't already done so, to a town or city near you. This woke business will be the end of us by hook or by crook if we let it continue unchecked. So anyway, that's enough out of me for now. I'm just letting you know that we have an app that's available in the App Store, the Apple App Store, for now anyway. Because obviously they're talking about getting rid of Twitter off that. So if Twitter goes, I don't know, maybe TNT will be close behind, I don't know. But for now, download it from the App Store and also the Google Play Store onto your desktop or your tablet or your mobile device and stay connected with us 24/7 here on TNT Radio.
The latest news to your smart speaker.
I listen on Alexa.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, let the madness commence. The Scottish Government has been urged to pause its controversial gender reform plan. Gender reform plan from the Scottish Government. While lawmakers assess concerns raised by a UN official on the risk it poses to women's safety, the proposed Gender Recognition Reform Scotland Bill will make it much easier for individuals to change their gender identity. Reem Al-Salem, the UN Special Rapporteur on Violence Against Women and Girls, warned in a 9-page letter to First Minister Nicola Sturgeon that her proposed law risks are opening the door to violent males abusing women in single-sex spaces. In other words, men in women's toilets and men in women's changing rooms and other shared spaces. It's an absolute abomination. But Sturgeon, old Nippy Sturgeon, dismissed the concerns at First Minister's question, saying many of these issues have already been discussed and addressed already by the Scottish Parliament. And here to try and make head or tail of this debacle is none other than Sonia Bailey, TNT's finest. Sonia, how are you today?
I'm well, Rick. I saw this, you know, I swear I'm getting in the habit now of reading the news and going, what's Rick going to dislike discussing the most? What's really going to get his fire burning first thing in the morning?
You picked a good one. You picked a good one. You did. Yeah. This boils my blood, to be quite frank
with
you.
And we have discussed this in the news recently as well with essentially the Scottish government wanting to introduce a bill that essentially means that anybody can simply say, I am whatever gender they want to be, and they don't have to have any medical backing. They don't have to be 18. They don't have to actually do anything to transition. They can simply say they are. But what we've already seen in other countries, as you mentioned, it's not just change rooms and toilets. It's also school teachers being allowed to wear massive prosthetic breasts and claiming that they're female, even though they have entirety of male genitalia. And we have seen women in women's prisons being sexually assaulted and falling pregnant to genetically male inmates that have declared that they are trans women. So we absolutely have already seen what is formulating to be a history of abuse against women from people claiming to be trans women, and clearly they are not.
It's who would have thought, I don't know about you, but when I was younger, growing up, if a male had have entered a girl's toilet, you know, under any, you know, any pretense whatsoever, unless the toilet was empty and they were cleaning it as a cleaning contractor. Basically, you know, that person would be arrested immediately and jailed. And if the local men had got their hands on the person to begin with, probably lynched, okay? Nowadays, it seems to be perfectly acceptable just to be able to literally switch gender on a whim. And maybe I'm jumping the gun a little bit here, but further on down, the summary that you sent me through in this, they're changing the goalposts when it comes to verifying your gender, as it were. You now have to live as your acquired gender for 3 months rather than for a 2-year period. I mean, like, who do these people get monitored? Do they put the CCTV up in their houses to make sure they're prancing around in their stilettos or they're applying their mascara? Monitor that, but go from 2 years to 3 months. Who comes up with these time frames, and you know, who vetoes these, or are they just on a whim? What do you think about that?
Well, this is the thing, is that they've changed they're proposing to change the legislation. So the Scottish National Party and the Scottish Greens are proposing that this new bill will allow individuals to change their gender identity by simply making a statutory declaration. So in that stat deck, they essentially are saying, I have lived as this acquired gender for this period of time. And this new bill would remove any requirement for a medical diagnosis or any evidence of gender transition. So whilst on one hand they're saying, well, we're going to reduce the acquired gender time frame from 2 years to 3 months, in that same bill, they're removing any onus or burden of proof that the person has actually lived as that gender for any period of time, whether that be 3 months, 2 years, 50 years. There's no requirement. So there's also going to be no requirement under this bill for the applicant to have undergone any form of surgery or hormone therapy. And essentially, all it requires is a statutory declaration.
Yeah, a statutory declaration. Can you believe that? There's various things rolling around in my head. It's almost as if as well, Sturgeon, and this is maybe being used as a test case for the world for this nonsense to roll out further afield, but Scotland is almost being used as a test case in that there are legitimate concerns have been raised by high-ranking officials as to the safety of this decision for women going forward. But Sturgeon, who claims to be a woman and claims to be on the side of women, seems to be hell-bent on pushing this through just about as quickly as she possibly can. It's almost like everything's been brushed under the carpet, the same way as safety trials were brushed under the carpet when it came to these so-called COVID vaccines. They were just brushed to the side. We have to get it out. We have to get it into people's arms. It's like she can't get men into women's spaces fast enough. And I think, Sonia, there's another story that I saw yesterday here, and this gives you an example of the mindset of how the media is reporting this. So the BBC over here in the UK ran a story yesterday, and this was the headline. Okay, now you tell me what you make of this. Trans woman jailed for sex with 14-year-old girl. That was the BBC headline. My translation is man rapes child. Okay, so that shows you how the BBC are watering down A, sexual assault, and B, who the perpetrators are of the sexual assault. It's not a trans woman. It's a man. A man raped a child, not a trans woman had sex with a 14-year-old girl. No. Why don't they just call a spade here? What are they trying to cover up, or why are they trying to pander to this lunacy, unless, of course, they're in on it?
Well, I think there's a few things to unpack there, and most definitely we could turn it into an entire show. But I think in a nutshell, you have several aspects. Firstly, you have this sort of disidentifying of the human race. The more we can confuse people about who they are and their identity, the less likely they are to have a firm foundation on which to stand as an individual and stand for their sovereign rights if we confuse them about what those rights are. Secondly, we're talking about pedophilia and minor attraction, and we're also talking about men raping women and men raping children under the guise of being trans. And I think that this is where we begin to sort of get out our tin foil and sort of say, okay, if pedophilia and reducing the human race is the end goal here, that we are allowing deviants to essentially do whatever they please, then this would be a perfect headline to place that under. This would be a perfect umbrella for it to come under. And we have long said that the LGBTQTABC community was heading towards allowing pedophilia to be normalized. And this certainly seems that this is the path that this is headed down.
And by the way, you know, I've had a lot of people on the show here who are gay. Okay, I have no problem with people who are gay. I'm not homophobic. I'm not even transphobic at all. My issue comes with blurring the lines and endangering the safety of people who can play the system. Because obviously not everybody that's trans wants to go out and attack women. Or not everybody, you know, that's gay is some kind of weird pervert. Far from it, actually. And most of the people that I've had on here who are gay, actually, have said that they are absolutely against what the trans movement are trying to achieve at the minute, because they're pushing the boundaries and they're trying to somehow normalize pedophilia in some cases. So, I mean, like, this isn't just something you can label, oh, you're a straight white guy, it's white privilege and gender theory and all. No, this is just common sense and common decency. And any adult of any age or any religious persuasion or any skin color should not be happy with the fact that a man with a penis can go into a woman's changing room and make them feel uncomfortable and strip off. Yeah. And if they complain about him and get him thrown out, he can take up a grievance against a shopping retailer or a local council or a local authority, saying his feelings have been hurt and he needs counselling. Well, you know, get over it. You know, I've been called a lot of nasty names in my day, and I've been thrown out of a lot of establishments in my day, but I never took anybody to court for it because, quite frankly, I deserved whatever I got. But anyway, that's another story for another show. Sonia, we've got to wrap this one up. We're up to our time on our segment here. I really appreciate your investigative work on this one and bringing the subject up. It needs to be addressed. That's Sonia Bailey. I'm Rick Munn, and I'll be back after this short ad break with Jody Newell. Please don't go away.
TNT Radio's Darren Denslow.
It's amazing how reliant we are on technology, and in particular the internet and the ability to communicate with each other in an instant.
We've got Swish Fibre now. They seem to be pretty good. Thankfully, we've had no dropouts so far, so all good on that front. But I mean, like you say, yeah, it's scary, isn't it, how we do just live our lives on the internet now, and everything we do and all of our communication is through social media and the internet. It really does knock it out of you, doesn't it, when you lose access.
And we completely take it for granted. It's almost just a fabric of reality in nature now. We forget that it's sort of a technological solution to communication and to our, you know, to the way that we operate in this world. And when it goes down, the silence is deafening. You can't do anything, you know? I couldn't even check my bank account.
D.D. Denslow and Digging Deeper on TNT Radio.
This is a message for the parents of young children in the United States. I am Dr. Tess Laurie from the World Council for Health. Please consider the danger of vaccinating your children and babies with the COVID-19 injections. They are not the same as traditional vaccines and are causing significant harm to children around the world. Your children have their whole lives ahead of them. They are not endangered by COVID at all. Please hear us when we say, for your children, it is much safer to wait. Thank you.
Climate alarmists make the same mispredictions of doom decade after decade and century after century. We mandate that the truth be told. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, I've got on the line, on the old bat phone this morning, beaming in from Arizona, I have Jody Newell here. Let me give you a very brief introduction because her and I have a lot to talk about. Jody is, how can I describe her? She's a dynamo. Yes, she's a dynamo. She is a journalist, sort of ex-political type person based in Australia with some loose ties to the Liberal Party. The Liberal Party, yes. Anyway, we'll not talk too much about that. But because of her activities, her political activities, she was kicked out of Australia and she's now living in the desert in Arizona, where she plies her trade as a journo and dresses up as a cowgirl from time to time. Yes, I have seen the pictures. You can see her, or you can find her, should I say, on Twitter at NMG Sports. And also she has a website, Newell, N-E-W-E-L-L, mediagroup.com. She's a movie fan. She's got some good taste in music. And yeah, she's very kindly come back on to Locked and Loaded this morning. Jodie, how are you?
Good morning, Rick. How are you going there? I see you're coughing up a few oysters there.
Yeah, don't talk to me. It's been ongoing. I'm not going to tell you the genesis of this head cold that I've had, but let's just say there's something that needs to be removed from my cranial cavity. It's sort of hanging off the back of my nasal cavity. I can't get rid of it. So it's coming out slowly, slowly. That's all I'm going to say.
Shake the peanut, Rick. That's all I can say.
Oh, it's been shaken. It hasn't worked, Jodie. Let's not even go there. But anyway, yeah. You're wearing a GNR t-shirt this morning, I see. Guns N'
Yes,
Roses.
Yes, I am.
That's rather, yeah. It's a rather fine t-shirt you've got. You always have a nice t-shirt
Thank you. Yeah, wearing it because, Guns N' Roses are actually touring Australia, damn it, and I heard they played Sydney over the weekend. They played a three-hour set and it would have been great to see them. I saw them way back in 92 during the Use Your Illusion 1 and 2 tour, and they've just actually re-released the album. It's been remastered and there's all these, you know, extra concert recordings in that too. And it's really, really, I mean, I really loved Use Your Illusion 1 and 2. I think it's a classic collection of songs, much misunderstood and maligned. Everyone says, oh, Appetite's the only one, but I really do love Illusion 1 and 2. Explores a hell of a lot of themes. It's kind of like a Metal White album, I guess you could say.
Yeah,
I agree. Really, really good. It's a great album. Love it.
You know, when you think about GNR and you think about when they burst onto the scene and Appetite came out and the original lineup was so good, you know, and then old Steven Adler went, he was booted out because of his addiction issues. And then Izzy Stradlin fell out with Axl Rose, he went. You had this sort of core of a band there, and then they continued on with the Illusion albums, which I agree, there's some phenomenal tracks on those albums, give it to them. And it's a real sprawling magnum opus of theirs. But then, what happened, Jodie? Yeah. They went south.
Oh, they're just quickly, a typical rock and roll band. Come on, it's rock and roll. I mean, you know, you just implode, you destroy, you crash and burn, then you know, resurrect yourself and reinvent yourself. I mean, that's rock and roll to a T, Rick. But I mean, I really, during this whole, you know, scamdemic, period, I used to love watching the Guns N' Roses show at the Roxy in New York. I mean, in, I think it's 1988 or something, and they're just in choice form. I mean, and Axel's talking about Out to Get Me, where he's saying, this song's dedicated to all those who want to tell you what to do, tell you how to think, how to dress, how to act. And I really used to, when I was in my darkest, you know, moments during that awful time, I'd listen to that and get inspired by it, because he hit it right on the head with that comment. You know, we're being told by so many people today about how we should think, how we should dress, how we should behave, you know, and you know, I don't need, like Axel said, I don't need that S in my life. And I agree. I don't need that either. You know, nobody does.
No. Well, speaking of dressing, you know, I put a post up on Twitter this morning and it was quite funny. Actually, you made me chuckle as I was starting to prepare for the show. So basically, there's a new video has been unleashed upon the world where none other than Volodymyr Zelensky has his begging bowl out. He's looking for a trillion dollars. And you commented on the video. It said, this bloke can't even dress himself properly. What a grub, was your words. And actually, I'm dressed identically. I actually look a little bit like Volodymyr Zelensky. Don't I? Just a little bit, don't you think?
Not only that, Rick, I think you're his fashion advisor, actually. I mean, I'm waiting for you know, our mate Zelensky to turn up here in Arizona, you know, holding a cardboard sign saying need cash for war. I don't know, like need $3 trillion for a hoodie or something.
He's changed. He's wearing a black hoodie and that. And look, I've been wearing a black hoodie for now for about the last 2 weeks on Locked and Loaded. And, you know, I try and implement a dress code here, black, if possible. You know, if not, you know, you get three chances and then we strike you off the show. But Zelensky seems to have picked up on this and he's running with it. He's dressed in black now instead of his usual olive drab combat green. Do you think he's been watching the show or checking out the Twitter pages? Or why do you think he's changed his clothes?
100%, Rick. 100%. He's, you know, you know, I'm just, you know, waiting for every word and every image that you put out, Rick. Definitely. I have no doubts about that. So,
you know, I see.
What an absolute show.
Oh, he's a dog. He's an absolute woofer, that guy. I mean, the audacity of him. Let's touch on this really briefly. He's released a video. He's talking about the rebuilding of Ukraine. He's telling us that $1 trillion, what's that, $1,000 billion at least is going to be needed to rebuild the country. I remember 6 months ago, the estimates were at half a trillion, yes. Now it's went up to $1 trillion. It would help. It would help if he called off his dogs and he hadn't started bombing and oppressing the eastern part of his own country in the first place from 2014. Mm. But now it's like you and I are somehow expected to have this humongous global GoFundMe just to rebuild Ukraine. And from what I've seen, Jody, some of it's looking pretty spiffing, actually. When Rishi Sunak was over there recently, it looked like a nice place to me.
Yeah, and they could host Bono as well too, you know, and they could host Vogue and all that, you know.
Sean Penn could go.
Sean Penn's taking over his
Angelina. Come on, it's, you know, a Ben Stiller. Don't forget.
It's the Western front of Weidrigan, isn't it?
I tell you what, you know, I could take you around Northern Ireland, right? I could take you around Northern Ireland and I could show you the most beautiful places you've ever seen in your life. But I could also take you to some areas that have been, let's just say, neglected over the years. I think Ukraine something similar. Vast swathes of it are absolutely tickety-boo. And yes, there are war-torn, bombed-up places. But listen, come on, $1 trillion to rebuild it. Show me the estimates. Show me the quantitative surveyors' reports for all this. Or is it just another pie-in-the-sky figure that all the virtue signalers will nod and say, yes, we must rebuild Ukraine, no questions asked? Do you think any questions are going to be asked?
Of course not, Rick. I mean, you know, a lazy $3 trillion. I mean, come on. That's chump change.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know about you, Jody, but when I hear these figures now, they mean absolutely nothing to me. You know, you need $3 billion for this and we're going to send $4 billion here. I think it's got to the point now where people have just become desensitized to huge numbers of money being allocated to things that they can't see. They have no proof of that actually happened and so on and so forth. So people just tend to go, okay, yeah, okay, no opposition. Yeah, okay, that's the position we're in globally now. We're desensitized to the squandering of money.
I tell you where people do see it. They see it on their roads and their infrastructure. That's where they see this $3 trillion, the lack of it and the quality of it, because the money's going to these clowns like Zelensky and they're not going into proper infrastructure like freeways, like airports, into schools, into you know, housing for people. That's where the $3 trillion's going, or not going, Rick. And I find it remarkable that, you know, our old mate Joe Biden and, you know, and Anthony Albanese, you know, they tell us they're from a party that cares and is inclusive and caring and that, and yet they slap, you know, they want war to continue. They don't want to sit down. They don't want to sit down with Putin or Zelensky and work it out. They just want to, you know, like you say, give this money, this swathe of money to this clown and keep this ridiculous conflict going. And people in the meantime are being, you know, killed on both sides, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to see any war. I'm over this stuff. I don't want war, you know. And
no.
Why can't you just sit down and talk and work it out, you know?
This would be a good time, if we could, to play a little segment of Civil War by Guns N' Roses. But unfortunately, we don't have the licensing to do that. And I'm trying to bring it all together here and make it all happen like a professional. So if you know Civil War by Guns N' Roses, no, I have an acoustic guitar downstairs, but I'm not going to go and get it. But anyway, go and listen to it while we take a brief news break. We'll be back in less than a minute and we'll be talking about what's going on domestically in the US and also in the land down under, also known as Australia. A lot of stuff happening there. Don't go away. This is TNT Radio.
Big news.
A story which contains more than first meets the ear.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boyland here with your TNT headlines. The world's largest active volcano is erupting on Hawaii's Big Island for the first time in almost 40 years. Officials and business leaders are gathering in Iran for a forum on strengthening economic ties with Russia. There's been a close call between a Chinese and US warship in the South China Sea, and it's been revealed mental health issues are surging among children and teenagers in England following extensive COVID lockdowns.
For a complete list of shows and our schedule offered on TNT Radio, simply visit our website at tntradio.live. We serve up the latest live news and current affairs presented by a host of credible and expert commentators who can separate fact from fiction, truth from propaganda, keeping you in the loop on TNT Radio.
Okay, before I go any further, I have to give a shout out to the people that are currently inhabiting our chat. A live chat on tntradio.live. Go to the bottom of the website. There's a chat box. It should pop open and you're free to leave your thoughts, comments, opinions, feedback, whatever you damn well please on there. Zippy's in there, says, good morning, Rick and fellow Munions. He's actually branded the people that inhabit the chat at this time. Munions, not onions. Munions. I like it, Zippy.
I'm a Munion.
Like your style.
I like Munions.
Yeah,
cheese.
You're a There you go, cheese and munion sandwiches. Why not? Yes. Why not? If you're out there, Subway, give me a call. We can do some kind of merchandising promotional link up. Get me some cash for Christmas. Thank yes. Holly's in there, says, good morning. Mr. Bumble says, coffin loaded. Yes, very funny indeed. Cheer us up, Rick. Maz is in there. Who else? Video links are being sent on Tipity and Brew. Is in there as well. A lot of people in chat. I don't want to miss anybody. Rob Owl in there. Wow. Lots of people inhabiting the chat. Anti-lockdown Alliance is in there. LA guns were better, says Barack Obama. There's a little bit of a contentious subject for us to talk about. LA guns were better than Guns N' Roses.
Wow, they were a hair band. They might have had better hair than Guns N' Roses.
You know, Tracy Guns and all that. He had a cool name, I must admit. He was a guy called Tracy with two eyes. I liked it. You know, Ricky Rocket, I think, as well, from Poison. I think he had two eyes in his name. Maybe I need Poison. To change my name to Ricky. Ricky Munion, R-I-K-K-I-I, Munion. Maybe this is a sign here today, Jody. Maybe that T-shirt of yours is going to trigger something. Maybe I'll transition into another person as well. Who knows? But anyway, I'm digressing a little bit. Chat people, thank you. Jody, thank you for persevering with me during that little session.
You're a lunatic.
Shout outs to people. I'm a lunatic and I'm proud of it. That's why I got this job. The company needed a loon for the morning slot and they got one. Boy, did they get one, yes. But anyway, elections. Let's talk on the subject of lunacy.
Yes.
Let's talk about elections. Let's do what I was told to do in exams when I was a young lad. Compare and contrast. Compare and contrast. So what are we going to do this morning, you and I? We're going to compare and contrast two election results. We're going to compare and contrast Arizona, where you live, and good old Victoria in Australia.
Oh, no.
And let me put this to you. Let me put this to you.
No, no.
People talk about election integrity. People talk about vote rigging. Let me give you my hypothesis. You tell me what you think. Victoria, no election rigging. Stockholm Syndrome. Arizona, no Stockholm Syndrome, election rigging. What do you make of it?
I tend to differ with the elections that we've just had in the midterms here in the United States.
Okay.
Quite clearly, the Trump brand is on the nose with a lot of conservatives. I was all in with Trump. I think I've disclosed this with you. And I believe his handling of the pandemic, the scandemic, as I should say, was very, very poor. He refused, you know, he was the tough guy that refused to fire Dr. Fauci. I think Dr. Fauci signed off a couple of weeks ago on his own undertaking. And I mean, he should never have been allowed to do that. He should have been kicked out, you know, in 2020 in March. But, you know, the so-called tough guy, Mr. Trump, didn't do that. And he also gave billions to Big Pharma. And I think a lot of conservatives didn't forget that, Rick. I'll give you the classic example with Kari Lake. I mean, she was a very high-profile candidate here in Arizona, and she hammered her colours onto the Trump mast, and she struggled to beat Katie Hobbs, who won the governor's race. There was a bit of a bit of a glitch at the voting stations in Maricopa County, which is the county that's in Phoenix. And there was a
bit
lot
of a glitch.
About that.
That's the understatement of the decade, right there, Judy Newell. A bit of a glitch. That's like saying in Hiroshima there was a little bit of a smoke plume going up.
Yeah, look, I believe that, you know, you could argue that there was a little bit of that going on. I don't doubt that it doesn't go on. It's always been here in the United States. I mean, LBJ was, you know, when he needed to find ballots, he found them, and he got Kennedy over the line in 1960. Mm-hmm. And it's always been a practice worldwide. I mean, even in Australia, I'm aware of, you know, voting that's, you know, people have voted more than once, and both parties have been involved in that. But like going back to Kari Lake, I think she was really closely aligned with the Trump brand, and I think she suffered with it. I'll cite Ron DeSantis. He had a massive amount of numbers in Florida, and he treated the scandemic totally different, and he received a massive amount of votes, and people, you know, he won counties in Florida that you just don't win from the Democrats, and he won by a massive amount because he said in his acceptance speech, we didn't want to, you know, get into medical tyranny, and I really enjoyed hearing that. I don't trust any politician though these days. Yeah, I don't trust.
What was Arizona's strategy, if you want to call it a strategy, when it came to the lockdowns? I know DeSantis and Texas pretty much tried to stay as open as they could. What way was it in Arizona? Was that under Hobbs at the time? Was it under Democrats?
A guy called Doug Ducey, he's the Republican governor, and he has to step down because his term's ending. You can't go for more than 2 consecutive terms, so he's had to step down. Arizona wasn't as punitive as Gavin Newsom in California or in New York. So it was schools were closed down, kids had to wear masks, and you know, it was pretty horrible. I mean, I've come in after that, and I mean, I've heard some of the horror stories where, you know, kids missed out on their key rites of passage moments, like the prom, school proms, you know, seeing their friends and that, and they've struggled to, you know, recover mentally after this. It's been a big, big effect. But Arizona wasn't as bad as the other states, Rick, that handled that awful, you know, criminal time.
Yeah, so it's Arizona, just to get this right in my head, it wasn't as full-on as California. It wasn't as lax, and I don't mean that in a negative way, lax. It wasn't as open as Florida or Texas, even though it was Republican. It sort of set somewhere in the middle in that they did impose some very damaging restrictions, for example, on kids and going to proms, etc. So when Lake came in, it's just, I tell you what, that's why I'm asking you this question. You live there. You're in the field at the minute. I'm only going by what I can see from the outside going in. But when you stack the two people up together, you know, Lake has obviously had a very slick pre-election campaign. She's been very active. She's, you know, got the hair and all done, and she's looking, you know, very smart.
She's a media
performer. I get that. I 100% get that. And when you listen to her talk side by side against the other one, you know, maybe I'm being a little bit superficial here, but I would have thought, hell's bells, you know, how did that other woman win? But I did see, am I right in saying this, that yesterday, I think there was a story broke that one of the people, they're talking about certifying the election in Arizona. And one of the local bods there was told that if he didn't certify it, that he would be sent to jail in Mojave County. Maybe if I got that right
Cochise,
or wrong.
Is that Cochise County, maybe?
He was put under duress to certify the election, basically, which he did because he didn't want to go to prison. What's the story with that?
Well, there's counties all around here in Arizona, like there's Pinal County, there's Pima County. Pinal County is like Casa Grande, Florence, that area. Then you've got Pima County, which is Tucson. Then you've got Maricopa County, which is Phoenix, you know, and Mesa and places like that. And they've got a board of supervisors, and they have to verify the election results. I mean, Pinal County here just recently verified the results of the election, and there was no dramas there. Likewise with Pima County as well too. But with Cochise County, which is just outside of Pima County, it's sort of near a place called Bisbee, which is sort of like a historic old mining kind of town. And Cochise is obviously, you know, relating to the Native Indians. So that they sort of had issues with the vote. So, they've got all these counties, that, and like they say, they've got to verify the votes themselves, and then they, you know, and the governor oversees it. The really bizarre thing is that when you looked at the election results, because Katie Hobbs is, you know, responsible for the election. She's the Secretary of State here in Arizona, and that's a massive conflict of interest. I mean, you know,
put a big question mark over it too. I mean, there's literally so many aspects to this, plus the actual physical time it took them to do the count. I mean, like, entire countries have certified elections within 48 hours. It was taking the longer it dragged out for, let me say, the more suspect I think it became in people's minds. Then the certification pressure to do it, the fact that there was the conflict of interest as well there. But I take on board what you're saying about, you know, because listen, I'm an outsider. I can go by what I can read on alternate media, other people's comments on it, but you're physically on the ground, which is good, which is why I like to talk to you as well, because you're living in Arizona at the minute, so you have a much better feel for the word on the street, as I like to say, than I do, for example. So it's nice to get your input and views on that. But certainly, I don't think it's over yet. I don't think Carrie Lake, have you ever seen that film, The Lost Boys?
Yeah, with Kiefer Sutherland and that,
Kiefer Sutherland. It's trippy, well, it's a great, it's one of the greatest movies of the 80s, but at the
they
end,
the Bunnymen and the soundtrack,
The soundtrack's actually phenomenal, so it is. I listened to the soundtrack on Spotify. It's really, really good. What do you call him? What's that? Jimmy Barnes, some Australian singers on there as well. There's a lot of really good.
Not Jimmy Barnes, please.
But let's not go too far off topic. Carrie Lake and the Lost Boys, what's the connection? Well, at the end of the Lost Boys, when they're, well, I don't want to do any spoilers, but at the end, there's a line one of the Frog Brothers said, they never go quietly. They never go quietly. And I get the feeling it might take some holy water or maybe a stake through the heart to get Carrie Lake off the old election trail.
Legs.
But I digress. But anyway, we've got in the cauldron. I got to take a quick ad break. When we come back, let's shift our attention onto good old Victoria. We'll have to touch on the events in Victoria. It would be criminal not to talk about that. So we'll do that when we come back in 2 minutes here on TNT Radio. Don't go away.
I try to avoid the headlong rush into full-throated support or criticism of someone. The former is how you get your heart broken, and the latter is how you can destroy your own credibility. It's not wishy-washy to take a wait-and-see attitude and to compliment the good, criticize the bad. Still haven't made up my mind about Elon Musk, but I'm telling you, the longer time goes on, the more I like what I see. He tweeted yesterday, "This is a battle for the future of civilization. If free speech is lost, even in America, tyranny is all that lies ahead." He's absolutely correct, and Elon has been a staunch supporter of free speech, which is why the left has lost their ever-loving minds, even going so far as buying a car from a company started by Nazis to protest Twitter being Nazi or something. They're also going crazy over him having a pistol on his nightstand. I, on the other hand, was more concerned by the 4 cans of caffeine-free Diet Coke. Elon, baby, that stuff will kill you. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Researcher William Doyle of the Caesar Rodney Election Research Institute, CRERI, found grants from Zuckerberg's favored nonprofits, the Center for Technology and Civic Life, CTCL, and the Center for Election Innovation and Research, CEIR, rivaled federal and state COVID-related election expenses, with CTCL and CEIR together accounting for an 85% increase in total additional election funding. And that largess was concentrated in a relatively small number of heavily Democratic municipalities. Both organizations were founded by left-wing activists with ties to top progressive advocacy groups. Although CTCL and CEIR are chartered as non-partisan 501c3 corporations, CRERI research suggests the $419.5 million of CTCL and CEIR spending that took place in 2020 was highly partisan in its distribution and its effects.
The U.S. government is predicting the average household is going to spend hundreds of dollars more on gas this year.
Crazy, isn't it?
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, the chat is still very lively, Jody. This whole Guns N' Roses intro seems to have sparked a lot of people to think about rock, to talk about rock, and that's always a good thing because I don't know about but I'll be a rocker until I die. Let me say that. I want to be buried in a coffin shaped like a guitar, or even better, they could put me through a mincer and just simply put me into my guitar and just throw me into the ground or set me on fire, do something rock and roll with me. Make me into sausage rolls and sell them on the TNT website as a Christmas special. Yes, get your minced beef and munion sausage rolls. How's about that? Boom, boom. But anyway, okay. Mr. Bumble says, these days rock and roll is BS. Anti-lockdown Land says, they're out to get me. Barack Obama says, you're not looking in the right places if you think rock and roll is BS. Jean. Black from Ireland says she's listening in too, which is great to know. Jean up in the Glens of Antrim. Maz says, I love your lunacy, Rick. Trust me, Maz. An hour in the morning off, it's fine. Try living with me for 20 years. Believe me, you would not like my lunacy, my poor old wife, my poor long-suffering wife. Zippy said elections are rigged everywhere, or they move the goalposts and change the rules. And then he goes on to quote good old Stalin, I consider it completely unimportant who in the party will vote or how. But what is extraordinarily important is this, who will count the votes? Yes, who's counting the votes and how are they counting the votes? So, Zippy said, yes, excellent Jimmy Barnes song on the Lost Boys soundtrack. Thank you very much, Zippy. Jimmy Barnes, it is a damn good song. Sorry, and you know what? He's on with Michael Hutchins. I think Michael Hutchins also sings on that song, and Barnesy completely stomps him. Excuse me.
Come on.
Don't speak ill of the dead. But anyway, R.I.P. old Mickey boy. Yes, he Lost might, Boys yeah, soundtrack. Sorry. Yes, rock on.
That's
not a great cover, Jody. I'm sorry to say. I love the song. It's not a bad cover, but come on, why didn't they just put the original on there? Pay the extra few quid and get old Jim Morrison
on there.
Love
the original. It's great. So true.
Oh, the original. I'm going to listen to some Doors when I finish this today.
Hey, listen, get serious, Rick.
Yeah.
Before we get serious, can we just give out a shout out? Well, we don't really want to shout because Ed Cooper's going for a bit of a rough time with his hearing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he is. He says he's lost his hearing. He's got tinnitus.
Yeah, poor bugger. And just wanted to give a shout out to Rick. Ed. We all miss him.
Yeah.
He's a great voice in the world of freedom and truth, and really, really miss him. He's an absolute dynamo, and
I hope that he
gets better. And my prayers are
with
him because he's going through a
pretty
tough time. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, that's Ed Cooper, who, as you regular listeners will know, has been a cornerstone in the show here. But his ears are a little bit wonky at the minute. He's even pared back his Twitter activity, which is always a sign of genuine malaise. But if you're out there, Ed, and listening, love to you, mate. Mwah! Big love to you. Miss you prancing around your room in your pink panties. But anyway, someday you'll be back on the screen, doubt, to stimulate my optic nerves. And also, if you're on Twitter, follow him at Rise. In fact, let me get the correct handle because he likes a follower or two. Let me give him a little bit of plug here. So if you go on to Twitter, he's changed his at tag. So if you go on to Twitter, here he is. Look up at Rise Up and Resist, at Rise Up and Resist, also known as Rise Melbourne. Yes, big salute out to Ed. And yeah, mate, get well soon. So well done shouting out our friend Ed. Hope he's up on his feet again. Our not so good friend in Victoria is none other than Dictator Dan. Dan's back again. Allegations of, what would Dan have had to do not to get re-elected, given his history, his corruption, his debt accumulation, his world record breaking lockdowns and oppression, his ties with the police force.
How?
Well, if he killed someone, maybe if he killed someone on Earth, decapitated them and ate the body, maybe he would have not been reelected, or maybe that wouldn't have made any difference. Jody, how the hell did he get back in again?
I'm absolutely gobsmacked at how he got returned, but you've got to say that Matthew Guy was an absolute weak candidate. Yeah. And if you study politics and political science, you've got to be a good opposition. I don't care how tough it is. If you can stand up to the other party and question mm-hmm. them and have you know, other policies, you know, that aren't the same as the other mob, and you just go and attack them and just go after them, you know, it'll stick. You know, people will start to listen to you if you provide an alternative. And, you know, Matthew Guy couldn't fight his way out of a wet paper bag. I mean, you know, he's absolutely zero fight. And, I mean, it was there for the taking, Rick. I mean, you know, like you just said, you know, Andrews, you know, absolutely shellacked the people of Victoria. Uh-huh. And, I mean, he took away, you know, if you want to talk about, blasphemy, I mean, he removed two grand finals from the MCG, which is, you know, culturally one of the big things of being a Victorian. And mm-hmm. the Victorians have just rolled over and, you know, voted this clown back in. It's a massive dose of Stockholm Syndrome, for sure.
I think it is. And that's why I said with you earlier, I definitely have my suspicions over the integrity of the voting system and the electoral counting in Arizona, without a doubt. In Victoria, I genuinely think, in fact, I said this before the elections happened. I said, you know, if you get Dan Andrews back in again, if you vote that guy back in, you're either absolutely insane as a state collectively, or you're suffering from a humongous dose of Stockholm Syndrome. And if you're not sure what Stockholm Syndrome is, it's basically where somebody who is being held captive by somebody else starts to develop an emotional bond with their captor and think, well, you know, he's feeding me. Jeez. And, you know, he's not torturing me really, and you know, he's holding me captive, but he's looking after me and providing somewhere for me to lay my head at night. They begin to develop an emotional bond to their captor. I think that's what's happened, and it happened in Western Australia as well, you know, with Mark McGowan. It seems to be happening all over bloody Australia. There seems to be this humongous dose of Stockholm Syndrome. That's what I'm seeing as an outsider.
I agree, but also, again, that, you know, there was hardly any opposition to, you know, Mark McGowan in Western Australia, and also with Palaszczuk. I mean, there was, mm-hmm. you know, the opposition in Queensland was also poor as well too. So it goes back to my point. You have to be effective mm-hmm. in opposition, and you have to mm-hmm. have, you know, people that are ready and willing to take up the cudgels and totally mm-hmm. counter the arguments that these people mm-hmm. are going. And there's plenty of material that was there for Dan Andrews. And, I mean, the Liberal Party are just, you know, they're afraid of their own farts, you know. Like, they're just terrified of, you know, raising their, you know, their fists for a fight. And it's just really sad to see. You know, and the Victoria, yeah. I mean, it's just appalling. I feel really sorry for the people like Ed and other people that have just been brought to their knees by this evil tyrant, because he is a tyrant. And,
yes.
What he did to people in 2020 was an absolute disgrace. I'll never forgive it. And if I ever see Andrews, I'll let him know about it. And you know, he's a disgraceful human being and a disgraceful Australian. You know, an absolute traitor to his country.
Does it not also highlight really the fact that in these days, generally speaking, when any election happens and a lot of people have completely lost faith in the electoral process, which I completely get, everything's either rigged or people are crazy. I get that mentality as well. But literally, even if there was electoral integrity and everything was 100% kosher, what have you got? No one votes for the best candidate anymore. They vote for the least bad candidate most of the time. So you look at Britain, you look at what's happening in Britain at the minute. You've got Labour under Keir Starmer versus the Tories under Rishi Sunak. I mean, like, you don't vote for who's best. If they were to hold a snap election tomorrow morning, no one would vote for the best candidate. People would be voting, if they vote, for the least bad, or the one that they thought would wreck them the least. Is that any way to enter a voting booth to say, well, there's no one good, actually. There's no one good, but if I have to put my X or my number beside someone, I'm going to vote for the one who I think will wreck me least. What way is that to live?
I don't know, Rick, look, I just think that in today's political environment, I think I'm taking an Ed Cooperism here. Don't comply, you know, regardless of who's in power. They're not going to save us. They don't care about us. All they care about is their own trimmings of office. I mean, we've just got to focus on what we can do amongst our friends and find a life that sort of, just navigates away from, the poison of politics and just focus on people that you love. And, try and just don't comply with what they're trying to roll out, such as the vaccine mandates and masking and all that nonsense and, keeping people away from religious institutions. We've just got to say no. I don't care who it is, Labor, Liberal, whatever. It's up to us and amongst our friends to make a change. And that's how I try and approach life here in America. And I'd recommend it to anybody to do that as well too, so.
That is damn fine advice, let me just say, and as good a way as any to wrap up our little segment, which, believe it or not, has already come to an end. What a lively kickoff to the day we've had. I really appreciate you tuning in. It's been great, Jody. And just another little plug, follow Jody, please, on Twitter at NMG Sports, and also her website is newellmediagroup.com. Hopefully you'll get a good night's sleep now you've blown off all that emotional energy talking to me. Listen to some Guns N' Roses, why don't you? I recommend The Garden, which also has Alice Cooper on there. Oh, yeah, Alice Cooper. But anyway, listen, we got to go. I could talk all morning about this, but I can't. Love to bits. Have a great night's sleep. Locked and loaded. Rick Munn, Jody Newell. I'll be back after the break with Roger Tattersall. Please don't go away.